Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yo, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Welcome to this episode of the Flats and Shanks podcast, coming to you on your podcast app. And that is, I think, the only platform available for this. I am Tom Shanklin.
I'm David Llewellyn Flatman.
And we're trying to sound upbeat. We're trying to sound upbeat because it's a Monday night. It's around about 8:30. We've both had busy days, but I wonder how this is going to go, mate, because I'll be honest with you, I've had a couple of pints.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And you know what I get like after a couple of pints?
Oh.
Physical.
You chinned anyone in the last 20 minutes?
No, a couple of death stares. But yeah, bottom lips start to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at someone, you just see through them. Because yeah, that's how angry you are. Yeah. So if anyone comes inside my little office now in my house, I am going to go ape.
Uppercut City.
I go ballistic. You know, so. Go on, how dare you?
No chance.
Come through the door now. I told you not to.
Yeah? Absolutely no chance.
I got a tennis ball in my hand in case they do. Because I've worked out the tennis ball. It's not like a cricket ball, you know. It will leave I leave a mark, but you know that mark will go within a couple of hours.
Yeah, I dip them in vinegar and bake them. That's how I do it, like Conkers.
They strengthen them up, though.
Yeah.
Don't put Conkers in a fridge or a freezer. Softens them.
Wasn't going to.
No.
Does it?
Yeah.
Buggers.
Mm.
Bloody. Oh. Hey. Why are we doing it on Monday night? Why? This is my prime TV time, this is.
To get out for Tuesday morning, mate. Trying to get out first.
I know, fella.
We're not all singing and dancing like a lot of others. We want to remain, you know, that. What do we want to remain? We want to remain like.
Poor. We want to remain poor.
Well, just, you know, yeah, something for everyone. I suppose what I'm trying to say.
We are a pod for every man.
I mean, almost. Yeah, humble is what we are. Okay, you know, we've not sold out to the corporate, so
I'm a lot more humble than you might understand. Have you seen that clip of Donald Trump going around?
Oh, no, I thought you were actually comparing yourself to me then.
No, I mean, you're a lot like him, but no, he's done this. This is a terrible clip that's gone feral on the internet, and oh, Christ, he's just the one of the top three most awful human beings on the planet.
I just, you know, if I was ever to go and, you know, if he did a seminar or a Q&A, and I'd love to put my hand up and just say, Donald, can you just say the word China for me, please? Like five
China.
Times.
China.
China.
I just want someone really sophisticated and important, like Barack Obama or somebody, or Oprah or somebody, just to say, you're a really, really bad guy. You're just a knob.
Chris Finch. That's what you need, Chris Finch.
I want someone to just drop a couple of levels and let their dignity go and just say, you're a dick, mate, on telly.
Cleverest bloke I know.
Finchy.
A bloody good rep.
What did he throw over the roof? A kettle or something?
Yeah. User laces. Knew he would, the bastard. who did you say with the Cuban leader? Go on, who did you say? It's banter, it's not banter. Who did you say? Fray Bentos. You and your four non-blondes poisoning me. Anyway, yeah, sorry.
I watched the film the other night, boy.
Tell me what.
It's called Bait.
Okay.
And it's a story of Jack Nowell. It's not, but it's a story of...
a fisherman.
Yep.
Okay.
Local Cornish fisherman struggling to make a living, and the summer second homeowners arrive and cock everything up for him, and it's about basically the second homeowners clashing with local life and forcing all the locals who've been there forever to adjust.
God, there's such a middle class / upper class film to watch.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's an art film. It's arty. It's just won a BAFTA. It's absolutely brilliant. And I did the Bristol Life Awards the other night.
Yes, I saw
Bristol Life. It's actually really good fun. And I thought it could be. I knew I'd enjoy it, but I was like, this could be a bit strange. It's actually really nice. And had a couple of blooming pints, which was nice. But the early day, I think they're called early day or early days films. Turns out they won an award, so I presented that, and it turns out they made Bait, and I'd heard about it, and one of my friends had watched it, and it was so good, and they'd gone back and watched it again at the cinema.
Right.
So I watched it home the night on Channel 4 catch up on MoFo, and do you know? Yeah, bloody brilliant.
I feel bad now. All right, I feel bad now. Sorry for judging you. Do you still have 5 pints of lager before you get on stage and speak? Or
yeah, God, yeah, calm down. Yeah. do you know?
And chat to women.
There's one. Yeah, there's one. Or attractive men. There's one senior commentator, who
so
everyone
PC.
Knows.
Yeah,
who's a good bloke, and he once we were in a corporate thing pre-match, and I had a Guinness. He said, "Do you want another one?" I said, "Go on then." And about 8 minutes later, he was like, do you want another one? I said, hell, mate, chill out a bit. And I was like, go on then, I'll have one more. And we've had 3 pints in about 4 minutes. No, in probably about half an hour, which is
going some. 10 minute pints, that's tough.
It's tough. And he goes, right, got to go. We did our Q&A, did our bit and had a bit of a laugh. And then he said, I've got to go. And we all stayed down in the suite to watch the game on the telly and have a bit of lunch. A bit of pink lamb. It's lovely. And who's commentating? Him. On an England game.
No.
And they were like, I was like, wow, he's had a couple of pints to calm the nerves there.
That's Jiffy all over, mate. That's
Is
Jiffy.
It?
All-
It wasn't Jiffy, I'll tell
the
you.
The problem with that though is you're fine for about 30 minutes. Then the bladder starts to fill. Then you're knackered.
Yeah.
And you can't hold 3 pints in for a long time.
And he definitely was not drunk. This is a, you know, you're not drunk after 3 pints, or we're not because we're flipping lads, but it's absolute lads. But
well, I don't know, mate.
He was fine, but he commentated. I remember thinking, I'm going to really listen to this, because normally you don't really listen, do you, when you're there, you're just chatting. I'm going to really listen. And he was bang on. Like, he was great. And I thought,
Jiffy
well,
is bang on sometimes, mate. When he stops talking about numbers, numbers to the left, numbers to the right. You know, Jiffy is a great commentator.
Jiffy.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't Jiffy.
You have to say that now.
It was Eddie Butler. No, it wasn't. It wasn't Eddie Butler.
I have to say this because I said it would. I just had a couple of pints with mate of mine, Tim Smith from DS Smith.
Smitty.
Just to catch up. And
touch base.
I mean, we were going to record this pod tomorrow, but then I couldn't let down another meeting I've got with James Goodall from Enterprise. Cars, you've not met James Goodall.
Very, well, I like him, be honest.
Do you like hairy men?
Yes, I do. Always have. Kane Palmer Newport, good
okay,
friend of mine.
So do you like men that wear a suit? Yeah, you can tell they're absolutely covered in hair because it's coming out of their collars and cuffs.
They don't belong in suits.
No.
They don't belong in suits, those people.
But also, you know, it's they never get cold because they're covered in hair and thick hair as well. So
what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do if you, because your forearms are like that, but you, otherwise your body's not. So what would you do if your whole body was like that?
But your palms are like that and your tongue.
My tongue and the soles of my feet.
Yeah, well, you lose a lot of heat through your forearms. A very wise man told me that once.
Yeah, good guy as well.
Yeah. Right forearm's bigger than left.
If you had a really hairy back, would you wax it?
I think so. I think for special occasions / stag do's, you probably would. If you're going away to like Hvar or...
Yeah, Dubrovnik.
Yeah, or Minehead, Butlins.
My shoulders and back are getting hairy as I get older, and I don't care.
Jamie Roberts always got hairy triceps and always used to shave them. I don't know how I know that. Yeah.
What?
Don't know how I just know that. Just know that.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Big friend of the pod.
Oi, have you seen Frans Malherbe, the South African tight end? Have you seen the picture of him going around the internet in his first game back?
Negative.
Oh, my cripes. Fella, he was 130 plus for the World Cup final. I mean, plus. And he's obviously in good enough nick to win the World Cup. And he is, wow, he's eating well in lockdown.
Lockdown loser.
If I'd won the World Cup and then had lockdown, that's exactly what I would look like. I mean, that's exactly what I do look like, you could argue. But he's done what I would have done, except he's getting paid $8 million a week. Not to.
Let's not talk about this too much now, because we'll dip into it when we do a little bit of rugby chat, which legally we have to. But yeah. I mean, there's a lot of South Sea Islanders, right, in Northern Hemisphere, rightly so, brilliant players. But there seems to be lots of front row. Have I just been generalised there, or is that true?
Lots of Islanders in the front row?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, loads.
And...
There didn't used to be.
I don't remember there being as much. But
Joe
my point
Vitiarchy
is...
at Swansea, was it? Anyway, go on.
They're big blokes, but are they better than, you know, say, your average player over here, you know, the South Sea Islanders? You can see how powerful they are as strike runners in the backs. Are they just as powerful in the scrum?
You're going to hate the answer. Some yes, some no. So if you've got let's think of one.
I found that really hard to explain then, as you probably know, because I was stuttering like Keith.
I know, but
Fish Called Wonder.
Someone like Census Johnston is like bona fide world class in pretty much every area. Like, I know he's not doing it anymore at the top, but he was top of the range everywhere, great in the scrum, really durable and powerful, great ball carrier, big hitter, all that kind of stuff. I'm trying to think, what really helps in the front row, you've got to be good enough, but what really helps is weight. And it is relatively simple, if not easy, but it's simple to make guys who are almost big enough or easily big enough.
Okay.
But what happens is your body is under a lot of stress. This is just a theory of mine. So if someone knows better, tweet us and tell us I'm wrong. But if your whole career is about being as heavy as possible and maximizing your weight, your body's under quite a lot of stress. So being naturally heavy enough, I think, gives someone a real advantage. And it also, you know, you carry more weight into collisions and scrums, so you have more momentum, there's a reason. So props need the most static strength as a rule in a game.
Yeah.
So they're generally, in static terms, the strongest guys in the team, you know, generally. So in terms of lifting things, so then you look at the World's Strongest Man competition, and those guys are legit trying to be as big as possible because mass shifts mass. So Peter Stringer is incredibly strong, but he's not big enough. And you might have someone, you know, let's find a hooker like Luke Cowan-Dickey would be mega strong in the gym. Or Harry Thacker is his physique. He's not a huge guy, but his physique is unbelievable. I bet he is class in the gym. You know, I bet he lifts loads. He's got massive muscles everywhere, but you could not put him at prop because although he lifts the right weights, he doesn't have the mass to back it up. So he would be chewed up. Right. So the South Sea Islanders are, a lot of those men are big men. So having the natural weight really helps.
My point was, I know I didn't explain that well, was that they're great carriers, but are they actually top scrummagers?
Not. I mean, yes, sometimes no, just like everyone else. The point, and I'm going on about it, but the point is there just aren't many, there are lots of big men in England, for example, but there's just a higher concentration of them there. And of the big men there are in England, probably rather a small percentage play rugby, whereas of the loads of big men they've got over there, a high percentage play rugby, so you've got more to pick from.
Yeah.
That's what I would guess. There you go.
Okay.
I put myself to bloody sleep now.
Where were we? I just noticed at the weekend, that was all. A lot of the European games. I thought, wow.
Well, when we were young'uns, boy, there were not many Islanders playing in the front row, like playing prop. There were a few hookers. There weren't that many props.
No, and if you've got someone like, if someone came over from France or Argentina, like, you think, whoa. Yeah, here we go. Here's Romain Magellan.
Those days are gone, boy. Yeah, that's Romain, yeah.
Plays for Saracens one game. Breaks his nose against Wasps. Wops. He couldn't even say Wasps, could he? Never played again.
Gone are the days where French props are routinely scary. Those days are gone. Argentinian props routinely scary. Those days are gone.
Yep.
And you look at guys like...
I ain't scared of anyone anymore, mate.
No, I'll kill them all, mate. I'll fight any man. But you got... like Tevita Tomopiao, who played for Saints and Worcester, Big Dave, he was a class scrummager, like really, really difficult to play against. And for years, he got paid to just hold the scrum up, win the odd penalty and just do a job, give him a platform. He wasn't doing a huge amount else, but shit me, he was so strong, really flexible, great technique. Not all Islanders in the front row are awesome, but not all, not all Brits or French are in the scrum are awesome. And this is a massive generalisation, but as you know, the way the South Sea Islanders are either built, or if it's genetics, or if it's the way they play the game, whatever, they do seem to have, they often seem to have great timing, power, explosion, explosive power. So it's kind of, that makes sense.
Yeah. I'll have to retract that. I am scared of some people, my wife being one, and I'm also scared of David Tennant.
Oh, Des.
Oh, mate. Wow. Oh. Wow.
Now, I started Googling it, boy. Apparently accurate as all hell.
I listened to a podcast on it because I knew the name. The name rang a bell, but I couldn't, because I listened to so many true crime podcasts, you sometimes forget what you've listened to, what you haven't, but I've listened to it completely. And as I was watching it through, I was thinking, oh my, wow, yeah, this is bang on. This is exactly the same as a podcast, which they've got from Crime Files from the police and the files, which legally they're accessible through the court. And it wouldn't bother me at all if the character that David Tennant portrays and looks like in Dez didn't look anything like the actual Dennis Nielsen. But it makes it even better that it is bang on. And I knew David Tennant did Doctor Who. I knew he was Doctor Who, but I've never really seen him act until Broadchurch. When I watched Broadchurch, I thought, wow, he's an amazing actor, and everything he's done since I've watched, and he's phenomenal, mate. He's one of the best British actors out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not up there with the Irish fella in Line of Duty for me.
He is.
Valor. He was amazing in that, and I actually thought, looking back on Des, I thought,
oh, you found something wrong with it, did you?
No. David Tennant's performance was almost better than the programme.
Mm.
That's what it was all about.
Who was the policeman? He's brilliant. He was also in Line of Duty.
I love him.
But he was also in something that I can't remember what it was. White Lines, yeah. I tried to watch it. It wasn't his performance in it.
No, he's good. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I tried. I really tried.
He's everything he's in, he's good as well. He's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Dez was good, fella. I enjoyed that.
I smashed that.
Still,
in one evening.
Still looking into listening to Paradise on BBC Sounds, the podcast.
Yeah, I'm off shooting on Wednesday. There's a COVID-safe shoot going on in High Wycombe and Churchill's with Centurion Charity. So,
are you at EJ Churchill's with Rob Fenwick? Yes, you are.
I probably am. Probably am.
He'll introduce himself. You won't like him.
Fenny.
He is Bad Fenny breath. He is basically
breath Durden's. Vader.
He's Mark Durden Smith with floppier hair and without the sense of humour. You will not like him at all. He's the main guy there, the gaffer. You won't get on. Bet you 20 quid. I was there with Jason Fox, Foxy. We were there. We were just having a blooming lads shoot up, shooting some clays. Rob comes over, walks away. Foxy's like, "Who's that knob?" I said, "That's Rob. He runs the place."
Okay. I hope he doesn't listen to the pod then, all right?
Because that's not true. He's really nice.
Okay.
You won't like him, okay? That's what I want from you.
Why is that?
No, you will. I want to get into him because we know he listens.
He's
nice.
Yeah, all right. Well, I make my own mind up, mate. You know.
Fine. Yeah.
I'll decide. But is he going to be wearing chinos, pink jumper around his shoulders?
Yep.
No socks and boat shoes. Not even the cool ones like us youngsters wear, but like proper flat out thick ones like Blue Harbors.
Oh, God. Oh, rank. Ugh.
Big, thick boat shoes with big gum soles,
like the old mid 90s Timberlands,
and he's done the little knots at the end as well. big thick bell bottom chinos.
Oh, fella,
Hackett polo
with a massive number one on it.
Yeah,
collar up.
My dad's a lawyer. What you been up to anyway, fella? Since
don't ask since
our live pod. I mean, that went down quite well, actually, I believe. So we'll have to do one next week if we can. Back in the car, back in the COVID-free car.
Yeah. Do you know what I did? I did a couple of things for Land Rover, so sort of a couple of evening sessions where people go, they apply, and if you're one of the lucky 50, you get selected and you come
get
in.
A chat with you.
Chat with me. You just talk to me. Just talk to me about life. No, but you get a few players from your own club and whatever. So did this with the Saints guys of the night, and Owen Franks was on there, and Roy Hutchinson was on there, and George Furbank. And it's nice because they know who's coming in, and there's no... journos aren't the worry, but there's no one they're worried about on there. Everyone's accountable because they've given you their email address. They can just say whatever they want, and it's quite nice, and it's loose, and it's 45 minutes. They were nice, and I had a pedicure on Wednesday.
What?
Yeah,
you're so in touch with your feminine side, and I admire that with you. I couldn't be like that, but
it's actually because I get horrendous. My feet are minging, mate. You've seen them.
Yeah, but you're not scrummaging anymore. You're not playing rugby anymore. So how do they get so minging? Because you don't. You don't go on long distance runs. You don't. You walk on your feet. Yeah, granted, but it's not like you're walking 5 miles to grab some water and walk back 5 miles on sand with no shoes, is it?
That probably helps.
You get on the electric bike for anything. You drive anywhere.
I know. I just get. I get like elephant feet, don't I? I don't know why it happens, but I get it. And I give Monica in Bath. At MK Beauty, Monica with a K. I give her not very much money at all, and I leave and my feet are just bloody gorgeous again. Bloody gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, and I went to, I did something today that I've been.
Is that just like a posh way of like, or you're just trying to snazz it up to say you got rid of your athlete's foot, or do you actually have a pedicure?
Got rid of my toe jam. I don't have any nail varnish put on when the winter's coming because there's no point. The nails aren't the thing I go for because I can clip my own nails. It's just getting the soles of my feet sorted out because they are like, haggard. A haggard leather armchair that's been chewed by a Great Dane. Today I did something, boy, that I've been waiting to do for a long time. I went to Genevieve Taylor's fire school in Bristol. So she's Genevieve Eats on Instagram. She's one of my favourites. cooks amazing food. So I went to a fire school today, and it's blooming brilliant. And I have not had, I just finished eating at about 2:30 this afternoon, and I've not eaten another mouthful of food. That is how full I am. And it is now 8:45 at night.
Is that part of your fasting that you're doing that you talked about last
no,
week?
I'm just full.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure. Are you still fasting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
See, 8 hours a day I've got to eat, that's all.
Well, tell me more about this. Tell me more about this fire-throwing, eating place you're
fire throwing, fire dagger-throwing, jumping through hoops. You basically, I mean, it's learning to obviously set fires, about learning a little bit about the woods and stuff, but also... It's cooking food over big fires.
Oh, do you ever do a genie? That's the best way to start a fire. Okay, so you learn to set make a fire, yeah.
Yeah, but, top down method, obviously. But you cook different things over fire, so you hang things in Dutch ovens. You char things off. You put things in the embers. You shift the embers around. There was a rotisserie chicken. There was all sorts. We did a smoked celeriac. You know, it's blooming lovely.
What?
Here's a little top tip for you, right? If you've got like a celeriac, or you've got like big beets or something like that, and they're hard, you know, they're rock hard.
Yeah.
A good way to get them to cook a bit quicker is just to get a few metal skewers and just shove them through before you put them on the grill or the in the oven or whatever, because they get boiling hot and they transfer heat into the middle and cook it quicker.
For me, though, mate, like if I'm shopping and I see a celeriac, I'm thinking, do I want that, or do I want like broccoli, corn on the cob?
If courgette? If you tasted this today, I promise you would cook it within 7 days.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah, but is it like snails? Like snails, they've got a master taste by covering it in garlic.
It's like a potato, but 5 times nicer than any potato I've had. It was so simple and so nice.
Even dauphinoise potato.
Yeah, in Dauphinoise.
Okay.
That was brilliant.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed. I did a lamb over the weekend on the Traeger.
I saw that. So how was it?
Delicious, mate. Delicious. I made like a bit of a homemade rub with salt, pepper, garlic, paprika, rosemary. Marinated it and then hid garlics inside it. You know, where you've got stab it, which I really enjoyed. With a knife, just stabbing it all over and then just put a little clove of garlic in there. And did 5 hours on the Traeger, about 140, 150.
Yeah.
Delicious, mate. Pull apart. And I had it in a pitta with, I can't even pronounce the name of the sauce, tzatziki, is it?
Tzatziki.
Whatever. That and some onion salad. That was in a pitta. It was delicious, mate. Absolutely. Like, so that's better than a fire school for me. It's not. It sounds really cool where you went. I'd want you if I was stuck on a desert island, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'd want Genevieve, really.
I also played golf twice last week. One for City Hospice in a charity day. And once in a club competition, Glamorganshire. Don't ask me how I did, but...
How'd you get on, boy?
Not really well. That's why I said don't ask me.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you if I won.
I know.
And that was about it, really, mate.
Did you watch Bryson DeChambeau?
Of course I did. Of course I did. It's brilliant.
Right, before you tell us about him, right?
Okay.
I listened on the radio and there were 3 commentators. 2 of them were really chilled and they were just like chewing the fat. And the other one was quite chilled and was just chewing the fat and really good stuff. But every now and again, the other one would say, it's rolling. Bryson DeChambeau. And I was like, I found it so grating that I turned the radio off and couldn't listen to it anymore. I don't often say stuff like that, but I really struggled.
Well, listen to the golf.
Yeah, I don't even love golf, as you know, but I thought this is the end of the US Open. I'll listen to the climax here.
Yeah, it's massive. It's only 4 majors a year.
I listened to Wimbledon with Jonathan Overton on the radio once because I was driving back from London and had no choice. And I was like, honestly... That is my favourite Wimbledon final of all time. He was so amazing.
Flash, you can't. Wimbledon's a lot of action going on. You know, it's a fast-paced game, tennis. Golf is quite slow, especially on the last day when there's not many pairings going on.
Yeah, but take it slow then. You don't have to go, Bryson DeChambeau, all the time. I was God. Be slow then.
Yeah, anyway, no, I listened to it on Sky. Really good. Like, crowds massively affect golf, though, I reckon, because same as all sport, really. you lose a little bit of pressure, I think, because golf, you know, everyone's looking at watching different players. You can hear roars. You know, the fairways are full, the greens are full. It just adds a little bit more pressure when there's not the crowds there. I just think you lose that a little bit. That's not taking anything away from DeChambeau. The course was unbelievably hard. Like, the greens were so fast, so undulating. Loads of people going off the back, coming up short, the lot. But he was phenomenal, mate. He was the only player to finish under par in Wingfoot in New York. He's a proper nose of golf. Like, he wants to calculate everything all the time. He's, for instance, like, golf clubs are all different sizes in your bag. You know, like a four iron is a lot longer than a pitching wedge. Yep. His irons are all the same length. He's got a really thick grip, like a cricket bat grip on him. You know, his pitching wedge is the same as his six iron, I think, which is the highest club he has. Then he has rescue woods. So he's very strange in his approach. And, you know, technique's out the window. All he's trying to do is get to 186, 200 mile an hour ball speed and strike. And he just tries to muscle it all the time. And it worked. It's phenomenal, like, his performance. But he's so slow, honestly. It was breaking me watching last night because I was tired, and you've got to wait like 5 minutes before every shot. And it's just like, oh my God, like most people think about their shot while they're walking to their ball. Look at the ball, check the distance, hit it. It's just unbearable sometimes. But you've got to give him credit because unbelievable. He's going to win more majors, and he destroyed the whole field. Mark Wolf, who's got a really strange swing as well. Like, his knee comes in, it's like a really high takeoff and then comes down like a baseball bat. So you've got two players who are basically going for the US Open with unconventional swings. And then you look at like Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, they got sexual swings. Like, it's a thing of art, you know, when you watch them swing. And these two are completely different. And I think it's great for the game. But massive win. Massive win for DeChambeau. He's been teasing and knocking on the door for a while. He's only 24 years old, I think. Wears a flat cap to play. So lots more added pressure now. I think the next one, I'm not sure, might be the Masters in November. But oh God, I hope they let crowds back into sport soon. Doesn't look like it, though, mind. Looks like we're having a second wave of whatever. There was a big difference looking at the French games, and it's probably now a perfect time just to...
Don't you take a break?
No, I'm not taking a break. Well, maybe a little.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The French games, there were crowds at the games. It created a better atmosphere, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
Definitely did. I mean, because we've been starved of crowds.
Not enough to get Clermont through, though.
No, certainly not. But Racing, you know, they're just... You know, I did enjoy the photo of a couple of the Racing boys after the game tops off. And, you know, Finn Russell is, you know, he's not a chiseled number 10. There's no fat on him, but it's nice to see sometimes that, you know, you don't have to have massive pecs, abs popping out, you know, traps popping out like Ugo to play rugby. You know, it's
yeah.
shapes for all, it's a game for all shapes and sizes, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal player, though, Finn Russell. Like, the sooner he gets back in that Scotland squad and makes up, buries whatever issues they've got with Gregor Townsend, the better it's going to be. Because, I mean, we saw Adam Hastings come in for Finn Russell while, you know, he was banned, say, for instance, in Scotland. But, I mean, on their day, Finn Russell's up there with the best in the world at 10.
Yep.
He is, mate.
Yeah, he's brilliant, man. He's brilliant. He's great to watch. And Racing looked like they had it all. I mean, come a Claremont's defence is a bit ropey and they just didn't look at it at all. I didn't really see how they scored 27 points, frankly, but Racing got a lot of power. That will be an interesting game against Sarries, because we'll talk about Sarries in a sec, but Racing have got a lot of weapons. There are a lot of weapons in that team. And Mashiner can't even get in the team at nine. So they've got...
Kamil Schat is probably the biggest weapon they have.
Mate.
He's a scud. He's an exorcist.
He's got a quad for a neck.
I think you described him as a breeze block before. Yeah, he is.
He doesn't get tired, mate.
No. I mean,
he's explosive and he doesn't get tired.
I do think that Damien Penaud's try was incredible, mind, as well.
I thought his runaway try.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, that carry was amazing where he bumped the lads off. But also,
I think Bakatawa takes himself out of it, really, in that tackle. But
Penaud had made a big run before, a big break before, and done a massive run. And I think he was gassed. And they said he was toying with Zeebo, was it? Was it?
Yeah, it was Zeebo.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think he was blowing hard. I think he was. Didn't have full throttle in him.
Yeah, I don't think he had full throttle through the whole way. So I think he was quite sensible in that. He started to cruise a little bit, hollow sprints, remember them? And then just before Zeebo gets to him, he turns it on again and has a little burst for line. But yeah, I agree. I don't think he had the flat out fitness in him to go all the way. And I think we've seen that a bit recently. You know, I certainly saw it with the Dragons and Bristol. You know, Dragons are way off the pace with Bristol, and partly because they've had two games back since lockdown. They've also had a 3-week break and they're playing Bristol full of stars, you know, playing well and match fit. And I think that's the key at the moment, is being match fit, because you can do as much running as you want. You can do as much, you know, interval training, fartlek, whatever you want to call it, anaerobic training as you want. Nothing replicates a match.
I used to say, I remember saying in pre-season once, and it was like, oh, lads, the first game's going to be tough, isn't it, to all the coaches. They're like, yeah, it's always the same. You'll be hanging. Don't worry, you'll be hanging. And I say, yeah, no matter what fitness you do, it doesn't get you ready for it, does it? No, you're always hanging. I said, well, why are we bothering then? Why are we here for 8 weeks if we're going to get there and hang out of our asses anyway for five games? Like, why don't we just have another month off, all right, and then start lifting some weights, start doing some hollow sprints, some run-throughs, learn some plays and just hang anyway.
How did that go down?
Why are we doing 2 months of fitness? Ridiculous. Well, we didn't win, did we? Didn't win the title, so I was right.
Yeah, very true.
Dragons were good for 10 minutes and they got absolutely blown away. They got battered and...
They were in the game until kickoff, weren't they?
Yeah, I was like, cool, I have 10 minutes. I was like, cool, we've got a game here, lads. And then...
Yeah, they looked all right. You know, Ashton Hewitt scored a nice try from... I think it was a crossfield kick.
Sam Davis crossed good, but then Sammy Randrandra just turned himself up to 8 out of 10. Game over then.
Well, he turned himself up to elite level. It was, he can just turn it on and off, which is
it's just unplayable. That offload out to the right to Ben Earl. Ben Earl's a joke again.
I know, what a step as well.
Max Malins off the bench. Oh mate, he looked good. Like,
and fast as well. Boys. We talked about Max Malins last week. You know, whether potentially he could be England quality. Potentially, yeah, but he has to start, you know, every week. At the moment, he's not. But yeah, look, Ben Earl was incredible. And, you know, he's interchangeable, Ben Earl, as well. You know, you can run strike moves off him. He can be a strike run out wide because he's got the pace and acceleration to hit.
Play on the wing.
Tight lines, yeah, he can finish tries off. It was a phenomenal try. But, look, all of Bristol were good. Harry Thacker was immense again. And, like... You can use him to pick and go. You can use him to hit hard lines. You can use him as a ball player. You know, he opens up so many different avenues. And you need a couple of players in your forwards that can do that, you know, because the game is about interlinking forwards and backs now. It's not just like forwards you carry, backs you create something. It's, you know, numbers come off the backs. And I think the All Blacks sort of move the game forward like that, where phase play is just a line. You know, you forget numbers. Everyone knows their role. And Thacker's brilliant at it. Carl Sinclair is pretty good at, as a first receiver as well, you know, either hitting a short option or putting it behind to a ball player. But really impressed me was Callum Sheedy at 10. And whether or not he's going to get a look in at Wales, because he's certainly playing well at the moment. You know, he's you'd probably rate him at the moment above Sam Davis at the Dragons. Not seen too much of the Blues, really, and Jared Evans. But, you know, Callum Sheedy, you know, you wouldn't start him ahead of Dan Bigger, but he's certainly up there now. And I think you've got to be talking about him as potentially being in the Welsh squad. He's playing that well.
But you're 10 quid, he's not.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. But
he is definitely. I think he still deserves,
you know, to be talked about in that level.
Yeah. You can't tell me Sam Davis is playing better than him. He's not. And Paul Turner, the old Welsh fly half, our mate from Sarries, knows a huge amount about the game. I love the bloke. And he said something along the lines on Twitter, so I'm nicking it, but he said, that's the thing with a rush defence like Dragons have got. Good fly halves know how to beat it. And Callum Sheedy bashed them up. And there were times when, you know, if he runs straight into the Dragons lads, they'll bash you like anyone else. But there were times when their defence looked really quite lacklustre and there wasn't a huge amount. It was like, we've put everything into the blitz, it hasn't worked. Because it hasn't worked, there are some lads fighting to get back and some not. And they didn't, match fitness looked like a big thing to me, but they didn't look in it at all and they got blown away.
Yeah,
but
they were.
Now, we're jumping around a bit. We've done the Racing game. Now, some of the games we don't need to do Bordeaux against Edinburgh, except that Santiago Cordero was playing for Bordeaux and he just tore Edinburgh up. He was great.
Leicester Canstra? No, can't do that.
Can't do that. Binned. Scott's Toulon Scarlets was really, 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 really dull in the extreme. Scarlets could have won it at the end, but fella dropped it, which is tough.
I know, but also talk to you about Lee Halfpenny's tackle.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's a phenomenal tackle. Do you ever remember Sam Warblin tackling Tuolangi in Twickenham? Got him right round the ankles just before the try line.
No.
Okay, well,
I watched the game. I can't remember this.
It's a phenomenal tackle. The Toulon 15, Daniel Ipifakin.
George, excuse me?
I can't even
say. You be what?
Call him Daniel. I can't even say his surname.
All right, our kid.
Yeah, Ipifan. Ipifan. It gets him right round the ankles when you think he's in. It's phenomenal, phenomenal fullback play. You know, like his positional covering and awareness, Lee Halfpenny is, I can't tell you a better fullback that covers the field better than him. And it also shows you that he's got life in those legs as well. You know, he's still got pace. Go on, have I always said?
You've always said that you can't run without your legs.
Yeah.
Or your eyeballs. Martin Wood, the Oscar Marf, you say, right, they can't run without their eyeballs, lads. That was before, you know, I mean, gouging's never been cool, but Martin Wood, I don't want to name any names, but Martin Wood used to do it all the time.
Yeah, it's horrendous, isn't it?
Awful bloke.
Yeah, but 11-6, Toulon. Scots did put up a really good fight, mind. They're the shining light in Welsh rugby. They are. They certainly are.
They are.
It's a tough place to go, mate, still. You know, Toulon.
Let's do something. Let's skip the Sarries game and do that in a sec.
Okay.
Let's go Sunday and Ulster were nowhere near to lose. Toulouse looked fantastic. Cheslin Colby, wow. Big pack, wow.
Trying to make...
could win it.
Yeah. Look, Cheslin Colby's amazing, isn't he? Shane Williams is the only person that, you know, he ever would come close to.
Yeah, but
you know,
fella.
He's trying to make Jacob Stockdale unemployed, which is a night...
Yeah, but he whacks people as well.
Yeah, he does.
He's nails.
But look, Ulster did have a couple of opportunities in that first half. There was a 3v2 early on and McCloskey throws this long miss pass off the left and it just halts all the attack. 60 minutes, Geordie Murphy throws a forward pass after a kick over and a take by Hume. And that was on as well. You know, so there were a couple of opportunities there. But the thing is with Colby, right, is you can't give him a one-on-one. You have to have a defensive system where if he steps inside, he's getting nailed. Now, for his second try, McCloskey sort of sells himself and tackles Kano. And sometimes that's good, right? Because sometimes when you're covering across and you tackle a player that's just passed, it means they're out the game as well, so they can't get on the end of tries. But on the flip side, it also takes you out the game as well, so that when Colby gets the ball and steps aside, that's the opportunity where you can nail him. And, you know, I think if you can stay alive on the inside, you do what you can. And I just felt that McCloskey just sold himself a little bit early and takes himself out of the game. And obviously Colby steps inside, and that's when he could have shut the gate and nailed him. But look, Huge A was brilliant, I thought. Just a real
mad
threat.
For it, wasn't he?
Yeah, everywhere, mate. Looked so hungry, looked thirsty for the ball. You know, DuPont was amazing as well. Peter Aki, I thought, you know, don't speak about him too often, but had some lovely touches, looked so strong, you know, such a low centre of gravity, really thick set, but the pack are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, Huge should have been put in for two tries. Once by Gittone, he actually ends up offloading, I think, to Ramos, and then by Ramos as well towards the end.
He was livid, wasn't he?
Yeah. You would be as well, you know, if you're a winger and you have two clear opportunities to get put away. He doesn't, but, you know, a good attempt by Ulster, but, you know, nowhere near really the level that Toulouse were.
Yeah, they were great. And there's a lot of people go, I think they do go on about the size of the pack, and actually not all of the pack are huge. They got a couple of big units, Charlie Famuina, Joe Tacori. Jerome Kano's not a freak by modern standards, but Famuina and Joe Tacori are very large, but they're high functioning. Like, they do a lot of work, and they just look great. And DuPont at nine is, yeah. I mean,
best scrum half in Northern Hemisphere. I'm not sure he's up to sort of Aaron Smith level.
Yeah, I think
he's not far off. Yeah. Slightly different players. He's a lot more physical.
But also in France, you very often see nines running games over tens.
Yeah, call a line out a lot.
Yeah, like Baptiste Seram playing 10. The last couple of weeks when he's clearly a nine. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then they bring Carbonell, Toulon bring Carbonell off the bench, and he changes the game and basically wins in the game. It's like, yeah, it's because he's a fly half playing fly half. He's not a scrum half playing fly half. It's ridiculous.
But Ulster, it didn't help the case. They lost Billy Burns and Hume as well. Losing your 10 so early is a nightmare. Like Michael Lowry came up and played 10, but it's difficult to pronounce his name without thinking about Bad Boys. Mike Lowry.
So, and Chiefs Saints, I mean, that wasn't the most absorbing game. Chiefs put up more of a fight than people thought. Saints put up more of a fight than people thought they might. Not fight, but they were better than people thought they might be. They were fighting. Manny Iagun in the front row did a great job against some two test props. He did really well, the young fella. But Chiefs were miles away. Jack Noel and Henry Slade, they were miles away, really.
Henry Slade's try was... Oh, not Henry Slade's try. He feeds Maunder for the try, but his break was... Yeah. It was off a... You don't see many of them. Scrum on the head, do you? Overturn.
Nope.
But the problem is, they've got then, is a bit communication, because scrum's turned. So as Northampton lost a scrum, they then lose their nine defending. So it becomes man on man, you know. So what you've got there is Dingwall just over chases a little bit because he's more worried about the 15 at Exeter, you know. So he over chases. He's more worried about Hogg. And it's actually quite a nice hole for Slade to slip through. Massive fend as well, you know, not just a pretty face, is he? And then just a nice feed. Maunder scores his try.
Yeah.
You know, it's class. And then Jack Noel has another individual effort as well. And it was beautiful. It was sexual, laterally so good. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, some people you look who sidestep, for instance, if you look at who would be someone that has to slow down a lot to sidestep, Josh Bassett. Okay, you look at him, he sort of slows down a fair bit to step, then goes again, whilst Jack Null just keeps momentum every time he goes lateral. You know, you've got to also be thinking there, you know, Furbank, he needs to make that tackle. Is he covering? Is Mike Brown, is Lee Halfpenny making that tackle? You know, you'd say 95% yes, they are. Mm. You know, so positional-wise, you know, he's got a bit to work on, especially, you know, if he wants to play regularly for England in that position. But still take nothing away from what brilliance it was from Noel. You know,
yeah,
he bounces people, doesn't he? He rides tackles, bounces people like he's a pinball.
He's a nightmare.
Mm.
You'd hate to play against him. I'd hate to play against
him.
Yeah. I mean, I have played against him in a Gareth Steenson's testimonial match a couple of summers back.
Oh, I've seen the photos.
Oh, smashed it, mate. You ran into me, smashing the bits, fella.
Mm. Right arm, was it? Did you have it taped up?
Oh, I smacked him in the bits, fella. He won't forget that in a hurry. Just off the lines to brought him back down to earth. right, let's do it. Let's just go back and talk about Leinster Saracens.
Okay, did you think that Leinster were going to win pre-match? No Farrell.
Yep.
Yep. I actually thought fairly big call put in Alex Gooden. Not that he couldn't do a job, but that he's not really played much 10. Vinopola's been filling in at 10 for Saracens.
Here's what I thought about that part of the game, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. The reason I'm butting in is because I want to say what I think in case you think the same and disagree, and you think I'm copying you. I thought at 10, he had very little to do, did very little other than really basic delivery of ball to Barrett and Taylor to smash it through, and scored one fantastic try, which was fantastic. It was brilliant. Otherwise, it was very, very simple play, just whacking it up and very little that was complex about it. There wasn't much ducking and weaving. There wasn't lines being hit. It was effectively a power game. And when an opportunity opened up, Duncan Taylor got the ball back inside and the try was fantastic. But that was it. It was the absolute basics done, which is very clever, I thought.
I watched the game and I thought it reminded me, I don't know why, a little bit of South Africa, England in the Rugby Cup final. You just had a team that were in the headlights a little bit in Leinster. You know, they started trying to throw the ball in their own 22 and run the ball out from under their post. And you're thinking, why are you doing that? You know, the difference was the relieving of pressure from Saracens. They did it so well. Little things like Lewington keeping the ball in from a touch finder, then hitting Goud and Goud smashing the ball 60 yards down the middle. You know, a Toji intercept, massive, massive momentum shift there. Didn't play any rugby in their own half or middle third, just kicked everything. Their kicking was absolutely phenomenal. Defence, as you would imagine, was brilliant, but it was just shutting the gate, you know, so working hard when the ball's gone past you, because that's when holes open in defences. When the ball goes past you, you switch off. Saracens were just hungry to close the gate. So every time that Leinster were looking to step back inside, they were getting hammered by a Saracens player. They just, you know, you work harder when the ball's gone past you. They were hunting. Absolutely low risk play. Three or four phases in their own half, then kicked. So structured, so effective. Gave Leinster absolutely nothing. Wigglesworth box kicking was masterclass. They obviously targeted Lama and Keenan. Keenan having his first European start. Lama obviously being quite shot. Lewington was brilliant in the air, chased everything. And I agree with you to an extent on Goud. You know, he scored a phenomenal try made by some very good decoy runners from...
said it's a compliment. Billy Vinopola. Didn't try to overplay it, is what I meant.
And Duncan Taylor, you know, they just created a one-on-one and he gets his arms through. But, you know, it's also about taking the right option as a 10. You know, it doesn't always have to be massive breaks like Danny Cipriani. You know, look at Stephen Jones and how well he played for Wales and the Lions. You know, he often didn't make massive scintillating breaks and finish tries from 50, 60 metres, but he made right decisions at the right times, you know, run, pass, kick. And Goud did that brilliantly. But also, just place kicking under pressure. You know, that was massive for him. You know, doesn't place kick very regularly at all. You know, it's all done by Owen Farrell and long distance ones by Elliot Daly, but phenomenal. And I just think Leinster look shell-shocked.
Yep.
And
I spoke to off-air. I spoke to Brian O'Driscoll yesterday. I was doing the highlights with BT and
having another baby. Well done, Brian.
Oh God, well done. I had that happen. But I said, is it going to be really inflammatory? I don't know if I said it or not on air. I can't remember. But is it going to be really inflammatory if I say Leinster just haven't faced anything that physical for so long? Because the Pro 14 just isn't as hard as that. Mm. And he said, that's absolutely bang on. It's not inflammatory.
Of course he did.
And they just haven't. They were nowhere near it. Like the Saracens absolutely battered them. It was amazing. The first half was amazing. They could not deal with Brad Barrett. They couldn't deal with Duncan Taylor. They definitely couldn't deal with Vincent Cock. He destroyed their scrum,
yeah,
pulverized,
yeah,
it, and they were toast. Absolute toast.
Yeah, those comments I just said on Saracens, I sent it to Richard McCaw, and he said, Shanks, that is phenomenal. Phenomenal analysis, mate. Well done. I'm going to send it over to Dan Carr. Dan says, that's great, mate. You've hit the nail on the head. Well, well done. Three cheers.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I sent mine to Buck Shelford and he wasn't so keen on it. But.
No, but it was just, I just thought the game plan that Saracens came with was an A plan. Physically, out-muscle them. And often you can't do that to Leinster because if you out-muscle Leinster, they'll break you in other ways. You know, they break you out wide. And that's why they've been such good European champions for such a long time, is because they've got different facets to the game. They don't just rely on one thing. But Saracens, you know, with that form, you know, will go on to win it if they can keep it.
Yeah.
Agree. Right. David, now, yeah. I put out a couple of tweets just to make it sound like we're engaging with, I wouldn't say fans, just listeners.
Yeah. Okay.
So get on your phone. Have you got your phone nearby you?
Yeah, what do you want from me?
Well, go on the Flats and Shanks Twitter account. How is Roman Poit? I mean, did you hear his coughing throughout the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently he hasn't got it. He was tested and he hasn't got it, we were told yesterday.
Okay, good.
Cobra or Kingfisher? Cobra fella.
Yeah.
Phoenix, that is.
Okay, because you've got Kingfisher trainers, I know that, so why wouldn't you?
What's the best thing about Switzerland?
Tell me, boy, tell me.
Well, I don't know, but the flag is a big plus. This is awful.
There's a couple of jokes in there as well.
Oh, you asked for jokes.
Okay. Chances of a Saracens Exeter final?
Very high. Mm. I think very high. I think there's...
It'd be great, that. It'd be really great that, because, you know, it's sort of the unofficial Gallagher Premiership final as well, isn't it?
To lose would just be such hard work, but they've got to go to Sandy Park.
Yeah,
Chiefs are so good there. Saracens could absolutely go to La Défense and win because they could do what they want. What they did was special at the weekend, really special, I thought. But there is a strong chance. I mean, A, it's 50-50, isn't it? Or 25-75, whatever it is. God, I don't know. There's your odds.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Probably should have said who that question was from. That was from Stephen Owen about this.
Big Steve, you know what Steve's like.
Saracens Exeter final.
Danny Thomas, what would you rather, pubes for teeth or teeth for pubes? Teeth for pubes. Because at least you can hide them.
Pubes for teeth.
Concrete Carrot. Good fella. I like his work. Will the Saracens points deduction be seen historically as a backfire given their form and galvanisation? No, I don't think it will, because they're getting relegated anyway and they were playing like this anyway. They were doing this before they got punished. So it doesn't seem like a huge amount's changed, actually.
Who's the guy who's the actor in Ness and he also did 50 Shades of Grey? What's his name?
Paul... He's a mate of Tins, isn't he?
Yeah.
Paul Con.
No. I'm going to Google him now, right? Because Darren Cave looks exactly like him.
He wishes.
He does. Doris. Doris, isn't it?
No, that's Kanan Doris.
Okay.
Doran.
Yeah.
Doran.
Go on. Keep going.
Paul.
Jamie Doran.
Jamie Dornan.
Yeah. So we had a question on Twitter. Mike McGuckin. Would you trust Darren Cave to lead your Spitfire squadron into battle? Because Darren Cave, he's grown a great tash. He does look a little bit like Jamie Dornan. Now, he did a film on, I think it was Netflix or Amazon, and it was called, I'll find it in a bit, you know me, but it was very good. He looks exactly like him. Okay, it was called The Siege of Jadotville. It's a really good film, and Darren Cave looks exactly like him.
Okay.
Bit loose, apparently, Darren Cave.
Is he?
Likes a few beers. So I've only met him a couple of times, but I like him already. Thomas Ringley, are you eating your greens? Yeah. Yeah. What do you have today? What was it called? Celeriac.
Celeriac. Yeah. Ed Jackson Jacko, the one and only Jacko. You asked for a joke and he said Cheslin Colby. He's a joke. Hmm. He is. He's right. Jacko's right.
Yeah. So we've had a few questions. Laura. The thoughts on Exeter Chiefs Brandon and how it sat with rugby. Probably won't do that one, Laura. Moving swiftly on. Did you see the hit on Sexton? Red, yellow, or just a penalty?
That the Michael Rhodes one. He's been cited for that.
Yeah. What do you think about it?
Head on head. What was it? Head. I thought yellow for that. I don't know why I thought yellow. It is force, aggressive. Yeah, yellow, probably. But yeah, I think he's going to get into trouble because it was quite bad.
Yeah, I think it was. Andrew Thomas makes a good point on Twitter. He's put, with Dragons, Scarlets, Leinster and Ulster all losing in Europe, do you think Pro 14 teams are a little bit undercooked playing 2-3 games in 6 months? Yeah, I think they were. They lack the intensity. I mean, there's not a lot you can do for size and power, but size and power also comes into fitness as well, because it's about producing those big hits and those outbursts of power for full 80 minutes and not just sort of 30, 40 minutes. So I think it has. Yeah. How do you handle, Paul Hutton, how do you handle Semi? He's put rage in before it, but...
How do you handle Semi?
You tried to shut his space down.
And a cricket bat.
Did you see when he broke through for one of the tries? I think it was Ben Earl's first try, maybe. I can't remember who it was. But it was such a good move that I think it was Purdy coming round as a end up, you think the ball's going to Purdy, but it actually goes straight past Purdy to Ranradra.
Yep.
Just class.
Yeah. And he's looking for support when he goes through. And in the end, he's like, that's all right. I'll do this one, lads. You do the next ones.
Well,
he's great.
David, do you know what?
We've done enough, boy. That's enough now.
We've done more than enough. You know, you're so lucky.
We've given the freaks what they want, haven't we?
Yeah. A lot of freaks listen to it as well, mate.
I'm going
to
watch some flipping telly now. Look at a few car auction websites. Cars I'm not going to buy. That's how I do it.
I don't know. I need a new series to start. Umbrella Academy, The Boys.
Apparently, The Boys is good.
Really?
I haven't watched Money Heist yet. Have you?
Yeah. Loved it.
Okay, noted.
I think there's 3 series done, and I'm still not bored of it. So I'll go 4. I'm all in, mate. Here's my chips.
Okay.
I'll raise you. All right, kid. I'm struggling to finish this now for something to say, so should we just end it?
See you later. Love you, everyone. Yeah. Love you. Bye. Yeah. Bye. 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 Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.